Good morning. Welcome to Southeast Baptist Tabernacle this morning. I am leading songs this morning as pastor is out of town, and Brother Andrew will be preaching the word to us here in a bit. Take your hymnal and turn to 186. And let's stand. We'll start the service off singing, "And Can It Be?" 186. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me he who him to tell. Play through another verse. Let's shake hands. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you out here this morning for Palm Sunday as we get ready to celebrate this week. What a great, awesome week we have coming up as in we look in Scripture and see what Christ has done for us. We're so glad you're here. As Jason said, Pastor is up in Wisconsin with Mia for her senior recital that happened Friday night. He'll be back either tonight or tomorrow morning. So you're stuck with me today, so I'm glad you still came anyways. Just a couple quick prayer requests, and then we'll go to a word of prayer. Just a couple of prayer requests. One of our missionaries, if you have Facebook, you might have saw it, but Ray and Robin McCormick, they're church planters in Arizona that we support. Robin has come down with, and I'm probably going to mispronounce this word, but it's sarcoidosis. Yeah, that thing, okay? S-A-R-C-O-I-D-O-S-I-S. She's been struggling with it for a while, but it got really bad. She had to go to the emergency room, and she's scheduled to have surgery on Tuesday. So be with her. What, Corey, 40s, 50s, maybe they are? Maybe late mid-40s. Okay, so be praying for Robin. Also, the Granadas that we support there in Mauritius, their six-month-old son had to have emergency surgery. Now I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. But was in the hospital for 11 days and is doing well. Had some breathing issues and different stuff like that, so pray for them. Also pray for Darren Smith. He was on his route to Dayton, and something came down. His blood pressure got really low, so he's home resting, but he was going to preach tonight, so I'll be doing that for him. But keep him in your prayers. Kathy Cowden is home from the hospital from her surgery, so praise the Lord for that. And so let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask Him to bless the service and the request. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. Lord, what a privilege it is to come together freely and worship You, Lord, as we even sang a song. It's amazing love that You would die for us. Lord, as we celebrate this time of year of Your death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, may it not just be something we go through or something we just celebrate because it's the thing to do, Lord, that we may let it change us and may we share it with others. Lord, we pray for the requests, Robin McCormick, upcoming surgery, the Granadas with their baby boy healing, Lord, with Darren, Kathy Cowden as well, also the Smith's grandson that I think broke his wrist or his arm, be with him. Lord, be with other requests they may not know. Lord, be with them. Lord, be with pastors he's away, give him a great time with his family. Lord, I pray for the message that it will convict our hearts, that it will go forth with power. Lord, I pray that everything we say and do today will honor and glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, here we go. Thank you.
Take your hymnal and turn to 185. Let's stand as we sing together, Jesus Paid It All, 185.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. And stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus made it all. And stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. A crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
You can be seated. Just a couple announcements this morning. Before we get to that, if there's anyone visiting for the first time has not received a welcome packet, we'd like to get some information of our church in your hand. So if you would, please just raise your hand real quick. We won't embarrass you. Anyone not received one yet, we'd like to get you one. All right, if you've received one, there's a little card in there. If you could just fill that out, we'd like to get a record of your visit. You can just drop that in the offering plate. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. Like I said earlier, we're glad you're here today to worship the Lord together. Just a couple quick announcements before we take up our morning tithes and offerings. This Saturday, the teens will be heading over to Bearing Precious Seed. From 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., help package and print Bibles. So teens coming out for that. There is no cost, but there will be pizza afterwards, so come out for that. And then next Sunday is our big Sunday. The choir's been working hard. We have a small little cantata put together with some drama and singing. So I encourage you to grab one of these invites. We still have more out there. We can print more and invite someone to come for Easter service. Maybe it's a neighbor, a co-worker, someone you go through. The drive-through line work, please, please, please invite someone to come. Think of it as your grandma makes a very special meal and then nobody shows up to it, all right? Your grandma probably wouldn't be very happy. She put all that work into something really great and special and different and no one comes, all right? So we're doing something special for Easter and we want people to come. Obviously you, but more importantly, people that need to be saved and hear the gospel and hear what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross and that we serve a risen Savior. So invite someone to come. And how many have invited at least one person so far to come to Easter services? Great. All right. Encourage the rest of you and all of us to do that. 7 a.m. Bright and early is our sunrise service. I'll be here in the auditorium sanctuary, and then we'll have breakfast to follow. And then our regular schedule of Sunday school hours, adult Bible studies at 9:45, and then the morning service at 10:50. So I encourage you to come out for that. Invite someone. Maybe tell them you'll take them out to lunch afterwards. Or somebody else in the church will take them out for you, all right? Just give them a heads up. Then you can also see in the bulletin, we have a lot of different other upcoming events. I have been asked about the ordination for myself this Sounds weird for me announcing my own ordination, but some have asked the time, so I'm doing the announcement. So, but at 10 a.m., the council will meet. Jerome, as Pastor said, make me sweat. So if you'd like to enjoy seeing me sweat, you can come and at 10 a.m. And then at 6, this is actually the service for our whole church to participate in, 6 o'clock. It's a Saturday. I'm not sure all that what goes on into it, but here there'll be a service for it. So if you're free to come be a part of that, and I heard there might even be some cookies and stuff afterwards. So looking forward to that. Mother's Day coming up, baby dedication, and then we honor the graduates on the 21st. Keep a hold of your bulletin. Obviously, on our website, sptny.org, is all of our announcements as well as upcoming events that keep you posted. Men, if you can come forward for our morning tithes and offerings. If you can remember, our missionaries for the week, it's John and Sue Conrad. They work with the Carpenters Project. They help build churches, train pastors all around the world. So I encourage you to keep them in your prayers. Ask prayer for a congregation with a pastor that's they're having some violence in the area, so his safety. And then safety and protection for John and Rodney as they travel around to meet these pastors. Brother Clark, ask the Lord's blessing on the offering as well as the missionaries, please.
Right now.
One thing we'll never understand is the love of God, that he would die for us, for me. We can't deserve it. We can't earn it, but he gave it. And we'll sing about that now, which is hymn number 75. How can it be? 75.
O Savior, as my eyes behold the wonders of thy might untold, the heavens in glorious light arrayed, the vast creation thou hast made. And yet to think thou lovest me, my heart cries out, how can it be? How can it be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? Oh, how can it be? As at the cross I humbly bow and gaze upon thy thorn-crowned brow, and view the precious bleeding form by cruel nails so bruised and torn. Knowing my suffering was for me, in grief I cry, how can should love a soul like me? Oh, how can it be? How can it be? How can it be? Was ever grace so full and free? From heights of sin to depths of woe, in loving kindness thou didst go. From sin and shame to rescue me, O love divine, how can it be? How can it be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? Oh, how can it be?
Take out the folder in front of you and we'll go ahead and stand and sing the hymn of the month, My Jesus Spare.
My Jesus Fair was pierced by thorns, by thorns grown from the fall. Thus he who gave the curse was torn, to end that curse for all. O love divine, O matchless grace, that God should die for men. With joyful grief I lift my praise, abhorring all my sin, adoring only him. My Jesus meek was scorned by men, by men in blasphemy. Father, forgive their senseless sin. He prayed for them for me. O love divine, O matchless grace, that God should die for men. With joyful grief I lift my praise, abhorring all my sin, adoring only him. My Jesus kind was torn by nails, by nails of cruel men,
and to his cross as grace prevailed. God pinned my wretched sin. O love divine, O matchless grace, that God should die for men. With joyful grief I lift my praise, abhorring all my sin, adoring only him. My Jesus pure was crushed by God, by God in judgment just. The Father grieved, yet turned his rod on Christ, made sin for us. O love divine, O matchless grace, that God should die for men. With joyful grief I lift my praise, abhorring all my sin, adoring only him. My Jesus strong shall come to reign, to reign in majesty. The Lamb arose and death is slain. Lord, come in victory. O love divine, O matchless grace, that God should die for men. With joyful grief I lift my praise, abhorring all my sin, adoring only him.
You can be seated.
Of crimson, God wrote his love on a hillside so long, long ago. For you and for me, Jesus died, and love's greatest story was told. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Ralph family. Isn't that incredible to think of? It's one thing for someone to die for someone who is just, and yet Christ died for the unjust. That's all of us, and what incredible love that is. You have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 3, if you would, please. Romans chapter 3. Always kind of a privilege and honor to speak and preach. In fact, I was looking over some of my notes, and I preached this exact Sunday 3 years ago, Palm Sunday. I actually preached on what Palm Sunday was. I'm not necessarily going to do that today, but we looked at, I was going to first ask if anybody remember what I preached on. I was going to give you $1 million, but I figured you probably didn't know, and I didn't have $1 million, so we'd be okay. But I encourage you this week to take time to read through Christ's final week before his death and burial and resurrection. Palm Sunday, what a great thing as Christ enters Jerusalem and they're chanting and shouting Hosanna, what all that means. We're going to fast forward and look at what Christ did for us on Friday and the different details of that. As pastor's been going the last 3 weeks over the gospel and presenting the gospel, I thought I would follow suit with that. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Maybe a familiar passage. I know one verse in here, at least for sure, is familiar. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've heard one of these verses. But what I'd like us to do is kind of just take a step back, maybe kind of check out from the things of this world, the pressures, what our mind's racing to, what we got going on later today, the rest of the week, and just kind of take a fresh look, a new look at this truth. The title of the message is The Glory of the Gospel, and kind of the subtitle is The Righteousness of God Through Faith. And if you've been in church any length of time, you've we've heard some of these terms and this truth, at least I would hope so. But I want to kind of bring it back full circle to us so we can just stand in awe of what God has done. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior today, this is the best message, not necessarily my message, but the message of Scripture that can change your life. If you are a believer, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this message has changed your life and can be the biggest message, the biggest proclamation of your life to the world. And can change you in that. We're going to start reading in verse 21, then we'll have a word of prayer and jump into the passage. The Bible says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, unto this time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray You'll just use me today. Lord, may this not be my words, but Your words from the Word of God. Lord, may we just open up our hearts to the truth of Scripture, one incredible truth, and in this passage of what You have done for us, what You can do for us, what You've done for some of us, Lord, and how You can use us to proclaim this message. Lord, I pray that we will leave changed, Lord, that Your Word will go forth with power, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit will work, and we'll give honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, suppose somebody came running in here with a parachute and told you you need to put it on. All right, first we probably all look and say, okay, why? I'm not falling. I'm sitting here. Everything's good. I don't really need a parachute. We kind of maybe even ignore him or say, we need to check this guy out. Okay, he's got some issues. Well, let's change scenarios. You're on a plane and it's going down. And all of a sudden, this guy comes running for a parachute or running around with a parachute. And you're like, okay, I'll take that. All right, thank you. You know, put it on and we're good to go. Okay, why? Well, there's a chance that the plane might go down and we might need the parachute. Well, the truth of today in the gospel is God is holding out a parachute to us. It's the gospel. But until we see our need for it and become convinced that our plight is desperate, we'll never joyously grab hold of what is being offered. If we had time, we could go back and read verses 9 through 20, but a big jump happens from verse 20 to 21. Verses 9 through 20 pretty much says, There's none righteous. No one is right with God. No one does what is right. And it gives a list of different things. We do this, and it's all against God. And verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. Meaning there's no way anyone can earn their salvation, work for their salvation. And the reason for the law, it says, thereby this law is the knowledge of sin. So my proposition for us this morning is your life can change, not based on what you can do, but what God has already done. The incredible truth from this passage is God does what we cannot do. In this passage, we see who we are, who God is, and what God has done for us. And the question that comes to mind maybe, or should come to mind, is how can a person be righteous before God? Well, I'll give you kind of what our concluding thought is going to be at the beginning, and then we'll go through it. For the unbeliever, if you're here today, you know, do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The challenge to you is to receive the righteousness of God by faith and understand that you can be justified, declared righteous by faith. For the believer, someone who has received this, the challenge to you is to rejoice in what God has done, to live it out, and then to ultimately proclaim it. So let's jump into the text. My first point here that we see is the righteousness of God is revealed. And the righteousness of God is revealed. Verse 21 says again, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What a great two words we have here, but now. All right, the hinge pin of humanity. These two words signify that a righteousness of God has been inaugurated in a new age. This is huge, especially in this context, because the Jews here have so long been trying to earn salvation by working out, by keeping the law. And then God is now presenting that the gospel is not only for the Jews, for the Gentiles. And what he's saying is, you know what? There's nothing you can do, no work you can do, no keeping of the law that will make you justified. And then he says, but now. What an incredible thing that he is now bringing light of the righteousness of God. After having shown the entire failure of all attempts to be justified by the law, whoever you are, as I said, verses 9 through 20, Paul proceeds to state the plan of justification by Jesus Christ in the gospel. The righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law, separate from the law, although the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, bears witness to it. Well, then what is this righteousness of God? Well, one person put it this way. The righteousness of God is neither an attribute of God in this context, nor the changed character of the believer, but Christ himself. That is key. Remember that. The righteousness of God is Christ himself, who fully met our stead in behalf every demand of the law, and who is, by the act of God, called imputation. I mean, his righteousness given to us, and was made unto us righteousness. The believer in Christ is now, by grace, complete and blessed in this righteousness. This is what is called the righteousness of God by faith. And this is God's plan. God's plan is to justify men. God's righteousness, God's plan, is imputed to believers because of Christ's sacrifice. Once again, we see here, God did something we cannot do. I kind of liken this to, or this revelation, or this revealing, to a gender reveal party. Maybe you've seen some of those go on. Youth group, we just did one for the Carters. And it's kind of a secret to some, all right? Carters knew and a couple others. So some kind of know what the gender is, and others, most of us, don't. And so that's this anticipation. All of a sudden, the balloons pop out, or, you know, there's kind of a friend of mine, they actually made a little bomb. They live in Montana, so they can do this. And he shot it, and boom, and pink, you know, powder went everywhere. I thought that was pretty cool. I could do that in my neighborhood, but then the SWAT team would probably come again. You know, a big reveal. It's like, okay, what wasn't known, and now is known to all. A few knew it, a few knew the gender, but now it's known to all. And this is what is taking place, as God is saying, now is revealed the righteousness of God. You can have it. It can be part of you. You can have Jesus Christ, who can justify you by faith from your sin. So how do we apply this? Well, to be able to know what God says, what he has revealed, we have to spend time in God's Word, in the Old and the New Testament. What's interesting at this time is Paul is referring back to the Old Testament. Right now, all Paul has is the Old Testament. And from the Old Testament, he's pulling out the truth that Jesus Christ justifies men, can justify men. So we need to spend time in God's Word, both the Old and the New Testament, so we can find out what He has revealed. We need to realize God wants to give us, give you and I, His righteousness, Jesus Christ. Then we have to accept it, have it be a part of our life. And then if we have accepted it, we then need to share this revelation. So not only is the righteousness of God revealed, but secondly, the righteousness of God is rendered and received. We can see that in verses 22 to 25. Verse 22 says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all in the same boat. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." So we see here God's plan for salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God is manifested, it's shown, it's revealed through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And there is no distinction. The point is, as we see in verse 22 and 23, there is no difference. And then for all of sin is, we're all on the same plane, for all at the same level. All must be saved in the same weather, in the same way, no matter who you are. Bond or free, rich or poor, learned or ignorant. None can be saved by works. Because of our sin, we have failed to attain the praise and approval of God. So I love that verse. You know, we've heard that verse before, Romans 3:23. But in this context, it shows us, okay, starting out with the righteousness of God, it's revealed to all, but we all sinned. So here's the righteousness of God. It is for all. It is by faith. It can be freely received by God through Christ who justifies us, but we've all sinned. But we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We don't get quite there because of our sin. So that is where we see the righteousness of God is, I use the word rendered, is demonstrated and shown. I want to talk about three big doctrinal theological words in here. You've probably heard them, probably even know what they are. But as I was going through this week, in fact, it started with my devotions and then turned into this message, I was super convicted by just kind of picking apart these words that we kind of hear so often or can flippantly use, and yet when we dive down into them and pull them out, they can change us. First, we see here as the righteousness of God is rendered by Jesus Christ, who in verse 24, He justifies us. We are justified by grace. The word justification means to declare us righteous, being treated as if righteous. That is, being regarded and treated as if we have kept the law. Okay, so here's God, and His righteousness through Jesus Christ has justified it. Those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We have all sinned, but if we believe and accept this justification, then we're declared righteous. Not because who we are, but because what Christ has done. It's an incredible thought. I mean, we are so far from God in our sin, have zero desire to live for Him, and yet God says, you can be called righteous. Because of Jesus Christ. Not because of you, but because of Him. That is what Christ does for us when He justifies us. This is the essence of the gospel. We are not treated by any merit or work of our own. It is mere favor, not a right, but a gift. The righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ is upon all who believe, who are all justified freely by grace. I love this word in here, freely. All right, it's in clear contrast to purchase or obtained by labor. And this is what the Jews in this context were struggling with. They felt they had to be good enough, or they were good enough. And yet God says it's freely given. It does cost something, but cost us nothing. We have nothing to bring to the table. It is entirely a gift, as we see saw as well, by His grace, His favor, His undeserved mercy. I'll illustrate that point as we get. The second word He uses then in this righteousness of God is rendered is the word redemption. Or redeemed through the redemption, as we see in verse 24. This word redemption occurs only 10 times in the New Testament. And its meaning is incredible. It means to purchase in the market like a slave. It means to buy out of the market to never go back again. And in this specific context, it means to loose or to set free by paying a price. The idea is of a price that is paid for a prisoner of war. This is someone who is liberated from bondage. Ransom is paid, ultimately for us, the deliverance from sin, from the evil consequences of sin. That is in Christ Jesus. To illustrate this, the story is told of Tom. He carried a new boat to the edge of the river. He carefully placed in the water, and slowly let out some string. How smoothly the boat sailed, he said. Tom sat in the warm sunshine, admiring the little boat that he had built. Suddenly, a strong current caught the boat. Tom tried to pull it back into shore, but the string broke. The little boat raced downstream. Tom ran along the sandy shore as fast as he could, but his little boat soon slipped out of sight. All afternoon, he searched for the boat. Finally, when it was too dark to look anymore, Tom sadly went home. A few days later, on the way to school, Tom spotted a boat just like his in the store window. When he got closer, he could see, sure enough, it was his boat. Tom hurried to the store manager. "Sir, that's my boat in the window. I made it." "Sorry, son, but someone else brought it in this morning. If you want it, you'll have to buy it for $1. Tom ran home and counted all his pennies, exactly $1. When he reached the store, he rushed to the counter. "Here's the money for my boat." As he left the store, Tom hugged his boat and said, "Now you're twice mine. First I made you, and now I bought you." Christ has redeemed us. He's redeemed those who have come to him in faith. He created us, and now he is redeeming us. He is buying us back from sin. What a great picture with this illustration, and what an incredible truth to think about. And then the other word we see here, as we see the righteousness of God rendered, is propitiation. Anyone use that word this week? And I'm sure, teens, you were texting that a lot. I'm pretty positive. All right? Not a word we use. In fact, it's not used very often in the Scripture. In fact, it's only used twice in the Bible, here and in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. The picture here is Christ as the mercy seat, where God's holy demands were satisfied. Leviticus 16, 14 talks about that. The offering, the sacrifice by which reconciliation is produced between God and man, occurs with this idea of propitiation. It's used to denote the lid or the cover of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. Okay, if we had time, we'd go back and study that out. But the idea is the mercy seat. The blood was sprinkled before the mercy seat and was called, making an atonement for the holy places because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel. The name was given to the cover of the ark because it was the place from which God declared himself reconciled to his people. So take that picture and see what Christ has done for us. Jesus is declared to be a propitiation, a sacrifice, an offering. Jesus was whom God sent to reconcile man. Jesus shed his own blood, the blood for atonement, and was the sacrifice for our sin. I heard one say, "If I am angry because you have offended me, but then you appease me, the problem will be removed." And that's what's happened. We have sinned. We have gone against God. And Jesus Christ says, "You know what? I'll be your sacrifice. I will be your offering to reconcile the relationship between you and God." This is the essence of what God does for us before God on our behalf. So the righteousness of God is rendered. That's what it was, or it is. We just talked about it. It's justification, it's redemption, it's propitiation. But then that righteousness of God can be received. And how can it be received? Well, verse 22 and 25 says, by faith. By faith of or in Jesus Christ. Faith is not the cause of salvation, but the instrument and means by which we become justified. The state of mind, the condition of the heart. God has promised those who believe in Christ will be pardoned and saved through faith or by means of faith. The offering will be pointless without faith, and the sacrifice may be accepted by faith. Honestly, this is through Jesus Christ's blood, his death, like we talked about before. Faith in Christ, one person said, in the blood of Christ, redeems us. Place us in Christ, gives us the gift of righteousness, Romans 5:17, thus enabling God to truthfully declare us righteous because we are in him. And this is all done to declare the purpose of showing God's ultimate righteousness and for the remissions of sin that are past, that were committed beforehand, existed before, through the patience, long-suffering, the forbearance of God. One night a house caught on fire and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms calling to his son, "Jump, I'll catch you." He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. All the boy could see, however, was flames, smoke, and blackness. As can be imagined, he was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept yelling, "Jump, I'll catch you." But the boy protested, "Daddy, I cannot see you." The boy jumped because he trusted his father. Understand these glorious truths about the gospel. Have faith in what God has done through Jesus Christ. Realize we all started on an even playing field. We all have sinned and we all need a Savior. If you have been justified, you have put your faith, your trust, your belief in Jesus Christ, you've been redeemed and found remissions of sin, praise God and proclaim it. How awful would it be for you and I to be declared justified because we believed in the gospel, because someone shared it with us, but leave your neighbor, your coworker, leave them helpless because no one told them about the glory of the gospel. Not only is the righteousness of God revealed and it's been rendered and it can be received by faith, but finally the righteousness of God is rationalized. It's justifiable. It's justified. Verse 26 says, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. All right, now talking about the actual righteousness of God, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. All this has been done to show God's righteousness at this time, this present time. God's consistency with his own law and holiness is freely justifying a sinner who believes in Christ. That is, one in whose behalf Christ has met every demand of the law, Romans 10:4. One said, because of Christ's death, God can remain just when declaring righteous the one who believes in Jesus and who is thus forgiven of his sins and made righteous in Christ. This is the substance of the gospel. If God pardoned, and this is key here, if God pardoned without payment, he would not have been just. We could not pay the payment for our sin, so a perfect sacrifice was needed. With Christ being our propitiation, our offering, our sacrifice, God was just in justifying. God is not only just, but the justifier of those who believe, have faith in Jesus. This is the wonder of the gospel. Even while pardoning and treating the ill-deserving as if they were innocent, he can retain his pure and holy character. God's treatment of the guilty does not mean he loves guilt, pollution, sin. If he did, he would not have sacrificed his son. God is justifying in spite of our sin and our wickedness if one believes, not in works of the law, but in Jesus. And once again, we see God did what we cannot do. So God is just and the justifier because he is gracious and mercy. We will never fully comprehend this truth. I kind of think of it as, you know, it seems like at the end of every president's term, you know, they get to pardon, right? And sometimes you look at it like, how in the world did that guy get pardoned? And you look like he, you know, did this, he was wrong in this, he still had, you know, the sentence left, list goes on, and yet they're pardoned. They're declared free. And I know that fails in comparison to what Christ has done, but in a sense, that is what happens. God is just. He is the justifier, not based upon us and because we are okay, but because Jesus Christ stepped in and took our spot and took the payment and the penalty for our sin. So put your faith in Jesus and thank God for his justice. To kind of bring this full circle now and to kind of bring it into I guess, a clear picture, think of us or you individually have now entered a courtroom. And you're up there, and the verdict is being given. You are found guilty. All right? And they start listing what you've done. You have done this against God. You have sinned. You have broken the law. And they list and list, and they keep listing and listing, and you are guilty. You are found guilty, and there's no way you can be cleared. And the javel's about to come down on you that you are guilty and are sentenced to death. By the way, God is a judge here. And we know God is good and God is gracious. And so God has here his goodness and his mercy and his graciousness to us, but he's also just, remember? And he has to Sin has to be paid for. There's a penalty for sin. We're guilty. So God is about to put it down and smack the gavel down that you are guilty in your sentence. And then Christ, in walks Jesus Christ and says, hold on a second. I'll take their guilt. I'll take their place. Yeah, they're guilty. Yeah, they've gone against me. They've sinned. They said wrong. You know what? I'll take the punishment. I'll take the payment for their sin. And the gavel comes down and says, not guilty. And that's what Jesus Christ does for us. We don't deserve it. I can't comprehend it. But he does it because he loves us. So the righteousness of God is revealed. Pastor's turned me into a crybaby, I guess. The righteousness of God, he'd be proud. The righteousness of God rendered, demonstrated, and received by faith, and the righteousness of God is rationalized, it's justifiable. So my challenge then once again is for the unbeliever. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I introduce you to someone who loves you? Someone who, no reason other than he does love us, came, as we celebrate on Friday, he died on the cross for our sins, to justify us, to declare us righteous before God, not based on anything we do, but by accepting his free gift of salvation by faith. So my challenge to you, will you receive that free gift of salvation today? Understand that you can be justified. You can be declared righteous by faith. God is offering his righteousness through Jesus Christ to be the payment for your sin. You can stand redeemed and right with God, not based upon what you can do, but based upon what Jesus Christ has done. Repent and believe the gospel. For the believer, first off, rejoice in what God has done. Rejoice. I mean, did you take one second to think about this? I mean, we are so undeserving. I am. Even today. If I go back this morning, like, okay, did I do anything well enough to deserve God? I can even look back and say, well, I messed up in that area. So rejoice that God did this for you. And not only rejoice, but proclaim it. There are people out there dying and going to hell that are trying to earn something, that are seeking or desperately wanting to be justified, and want you and I to tell them. Are you spreading this incredible good news? Think of someone, think of it, as I was going through this, think about it, someone who was maybe wrongly accused, or someone had a big court case going on, and they come out and they're not guilty. You know, and the cameras and their microphones, they're shoving, what do you think? We're thinking, hey, I'm free, I'm not found guilty, this is great, and they're just excited. I mean, they're telling everybody. They're on the news, they're just going around, they can't help but, I mean, this is what happened to me, and they're going and just telling everybody. So be that person. Hey, I'm free, I'm justified. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a sinner just like you, but man, this is what Christ did for me. Let me tell you about it. Who have you told recently about what God did for you and what he can do for them? There is not a more glorious message than that of justification by faith. Think of it this way. If Christianity was your occupation, was your job, would you still have it? Okay, I know it's not, but the idea is we all have jobs, right? And if we're not doing our job, we get fired or let go or warned. What if our Christianity was like that? Would we still be a good worker, in a sense, for Christ? And that's all concluded in verse 28. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Isaac Watts says, 'Twas for my sins, my dearest Lord, hung on the cursed tree, and groaned away his dying life for thee, my soul for thee. Oh, how I hate those lusts of mine that crucified my Lord, those sins that pierced and nailed his flesh fast to the fatal wood. Yes, my Redeemer, they shall die. My heart has so decreed. Not will I spare the guilty things that made my Savior bleed.'" The glorious message of the gospel is the righteousness of God can be applied to you through his work on the cross. There is nothing like it. My challenge and encouragement to you is to believe it and to broadcast it. Let's pray. Then, Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray, first of all, you just forgive me for my sin and when I have not been grateful and thankful for what you've done. I've taken it for granted. I've just kind of brushed over it in my reading of the Word of God. Lord, I want to praise you so much for justifying me and redeeming me and purchasing me. Lord, not anything I've done. I'm I'm a rotten sinner, and I needed Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray you'll forgive me when I've missed opportunities to share this truth to others. People in need are dying and need your love. Lord, I pray you'll just forgive me of that. I'm going to do a better job even today. Lord, I thank you for this church family. I love them dearly. Lord, I don't know their hearts and lives. I know most of them, Lord, but I don't know if they've been justified, and if they are, I don't know if they're sharing it or not, Lord, but I pray that you'll just work in our hearts that one, we would, if we do know Christ, we'd rejoice in it and share it, Lord. And if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, may today be the day that they are justified, that they are declared righteous. Lord, I pray you just work in our hearts, Lord, change us. Lord, may this church go out and be just a light for you in a dark world.